Today is the 7th of March 2017. I'm interviewing Jim Moran, a retired sign writer, aged 101 at the time of interview. Jim, would you like to tell us something about the life and times of your family, what you can recall?
I can just recall being told that I was born in Grays Road, Hastings, and...
This must have been before the war or during the First World War?
During the First World War I was born, and I had two brothers, brother Ian and brother George, and we lived in Hastings, and as far back as I can remember, it was in a ex-dairy that was opposite Slater's auction room in St. Albans Street. We were not there for too long when we moved to 417 Queen Street West, Hastings. Now, we were there for a long time, renting, and the owner of the house, Mr. Hyde, from Napier, a hairdresser, we got to the stage that my mother had actually paid in rent the house, and Mr. Hyde wished to sell the house. So we didn't want to have to move. So my mother had an arrangement with Mr. Hyde that she would continue paying rent, and amazingly enough, for the hard times that my mother had, she actually paid it off a second time. And when she died, my two brothers and I, and we sold the house, got quite a good bonus out of the will.
So you said initially that you were only one when your father died, and your mother had to bring up five children.
No, three children, three. Under five.
So which school did you go to when you started school then?
Well, my dad, from what I've gathered over the years, was a Catholic, but my mother was not a Catholic. So the three of us started at St. Joseph's School, Hastings, Catholic. And I was taken away from that school after Standard 3, and I finished my education at Central School up to Standard 6. That's where I finished. My brother Ian and I, as the time went on, after he was only a year ahead of me, we were both at home at 417 Queen Street, and we were playing a game called Bob's, which had a wooden ball about a little smaller than a billiard ball, and we had to pot it through some holes on this board across the table, at the end of the table, and next minute the earthquake struck us on the 3rd of February 1931. Now that was a very frightening experience. I won't dwell on this too long.
So you would only been 15 or 16?
I was 4 days short of 15. We kept having these aftershocks. So the whole four of us, George and Ian and I and Mother, we walked uptown, and it was a very foolish thing to do, but it was hard to believe, because when we walked one block from Queen Street to Heratonga Street, where Thompson's Suits are now, right down to the next one was King Street. It was absolutely flat, and I have a book about that. But anyway, there was a lot of very quick, good work done. And the very first night of the earthquake, everybody seemed to sleep outside. So we slept in a shed down near the fire station, just for a few nights. Yeah. And then we went back home. The only thing that happened at home was the chimney collapsed on our pathway.
Yes, it must have been very frightening because no one had experienced anything like that in their lives before.
Oh, it was a huge bump. No idea.
So, were you at high school at that stage?
No, I didn't go to high. Brother George was the only one that went to high. And Brother Ian had a job in a second-hand furniture shop. And I didn't have a job except for selling newspapers on the street. And from there, a few months after the date of the earthquake, there was a shop built called Clawson's, and that was just short, nearest the railway lines. And the man in charge of the boys selling newspapers had a chat with one of his other mates and said, "Oh, I see Clawson's want a boy to sweep the path and clean the windows and, you know, the dressing." And he took me round there, and I got that job at Clawson's. Now, they had a bigger shop in Napier, and there was quite a clever guy in there who wrote all their tickets for all
the... Signed the tickets.
Yes, and cards as well. And I got interested in that, and I started practicing doing tickets. Anyway, so end up, I did do the tickets and cards for the Hastings shop where I worked, and that went right through till Woolworths started over the road from Clawson as opposition, and the Labor government or National government put the wages up for me, and they put my wages up nearly as much as the boss. Well, that got to 1938, and I had been a friend of Gordon Spurtle because he got me to play badminton, And I used to go into his studio here at Songa Street, and anyway, we became quite friendly. And after I lost my job at Clawson, he offered me a job, 4 years, apprenticeship, £2 a week.
Gosh, that's not much money, is it?
So I served the 4 years, and then I was taken into the army and ended up in a tank corps in Italy. And that's when I still had to do a little bit of signwriting on the tanks, changing numbers that we were told to paint off the tank. And I painted quite a lot of silver ferns and white paint on the front of the tank. But what it did do me good, because I had to do that all while all the other guys in my unit were having a rest, I was made a temporary sergeant to give me a bit more money.
So how long did you serve overseas, Jim?
Well, it was in 1942, and I didn't get home till 46, but it was... transport was the trouble. I couldn't get a ship, so I didn't get back till just short of my birthday in 1946. Well, of course, I was looking for a job to do, and I went back to Mr. Spurtle, and the law was made, I don't know how long after the war started, that if a man left a job, he was either called up or volunteered to go overseas, he must get his job back when he came
Certainly.
Back. Well, that's what happened to me, and I worked for Gordon Spurtle for some time. And after a few years, I don't know how many, I'm sorry, I can't
That's
remember.
All right.
He took me in as a partner, junior partner,
yes,
you might say. Well, we worked for a lot of years, I did there, and Mr. Gordon Spurtle actually built a new shop, a songwriting shop, in Heritage Street, just down from where he had his temporary one after the earthquake. And that's where I came back to, and that grew very well. And we had a lot of apprentices.
Was that shop near Bullen Hodgins?
It's still there. Yes, still there. Built in 1940 by Mr. Abbott, the builder of the time, and it worked very well working there. Gordon Spurtle, he did most of the teaching apprentices, and we had a lot of guys that went through there, and we kept some of them. I can remember, I think it might have been a guy named Ross McKee and Carl Bartlett.
I didn't realise he was a sign writer. I thought he used to do things with cars, didn't he?
Oh, I don't really know.
Yes.
But he, just going back a bit, in the end, another chappie came named Brent Cullen. He's still around here, and he's in the shop. Gordon Spurtle was not keeping well, so he decided to retire, and myself and Ross McKee and Brent Cullen built a building down Queen Street West at 400, it's still there,
yeah,
as partners. So I was getting on a bit then, but it went well, and, a bit hard to say, but at that time it was mostly signs hand done, and that faded and came out as all what is done now on machine, computerized. Well, unfortunately, my wife died after 43 years together, and so I sort of just did a little pulled out of the firm, CSM Signs, and I used to help them out if they were really busy.
Well, just coming back, if you can just recall, you went through the war. You weren't taken prisoner?
No, I was in the tank and very uncomfortable sometimes.
Were you a gunner or a driver?
I was on the radio and also fed the gun. But the tank was never hit by the Germans, so when it finished on the 7th of May, 1945, 7th of May, we had to stay in Italy so we could get a boat for about 6 months at least, and I had rather a nasty experience. We had a lot of time off. So we went in, this was Trieste, we weren't far from Trieste, and I recall going into a building, it wasn't completely built, but I was on my own for some reason, I remember this, and I went up to about the third floor, and I got sick of looking around there, and it had a lift. Now, around the lift, there wasn't what there should be as far as safety goes. So I could just go in a wee bit and look down or up to the lift. Well, I thought, I'll go down. So I thought the lift was downstairs and it was coming up, but it wasn't. I was looking over after I'd pressed certain buttons and it came down, you won't believe it, it hit me on the head. Not hard, because
yes,
that's where it was stopping. And that was rather a nasty experience. Well, after that, there wasn't much happening. We just waited until the boat came, and I came back, as I said before, back to New Zealand, arriving on the 3rd of February.
So, were you married before you went away?
No, I married Margaret Kitching.
And she was a local lass, a good Catholic family.
Yes, and they lived in William Street. Yeah. And there was, I'll go from young to the old, Noel, Margaret, Dolly, Agnes, and Jack. That's the five.
Yes, I knew Jack very well.
Well, he was in the army, he did training. He's a warrant officer.
So you came home and you met your wife?
I met Margaret at a dance. Noel took his sister to the dance in the Odd Fellows Hall, and I was very keen on dancing, and I had a dance or two with Margaret, and I thought, oh, this is jolly good. So they had these every Saturday, and the next time I went, Noel was there, but she wasn't there. I said, hey, where's your sister? Bring her next week. So that's how my romance started.
We all remember the old Odd Fellows Hall, because those days there were dancers in the Odd Fellows Hall, the Premier Hall, everywhere there were dancers.
Even the Labour Hall.
Labour Trades Hall, yes.
And I think one of the first ones the Drill Hall, some dancing. Well, anyway, I married Margaret in 1948 on November the 13th, because all the caterers were so busy, I had to get married on the 13th. Well, it was a lovely marriage, and we had three children. Peter is 67, and my daughter is 63, and Richard is 58.
Are they all local?
Oh, no. Well, they were, but Peter, he was a worker. That's all he thought about,
yes,
was working. And he ended up with a nice bit of property down Sukatook Road. And he now also works for Yummy, but he has got a lot of gear.
Did he have a truck at one? Did he work for the Spackmans?
Keith, he did.
So, and grandchildren?
Very few grandchildren,
yes.
Well, I'm a bit dumb about it, because I've never had any living here. I've got my daughter. Peter didn't have any children, and Richard has one. So we didn't have many. My daughter married and moved to Tauranga. Had a lovely big house on the hill, but to cut a long story short, the husband did a bit of wandering. Well, the first husband was in Hastings, and he was not a good person, and she found out something about him, and that finished that. So she went to Tauranga, and she met this other chappie, and for some reason they sold this big house, and her and Stuart was his name, and they lived in another one, but he unfortunately caught something, a throat problem, and he died. Yes.
So when your wife passed away, were you still working at that stage?
Oh, yes.
And so you carried on working?
Now, Marion, hospitals were different then. I looked after Margaret quite a lot at home. And then hospital or the doctor suggested I needed a... So they put Marion, or Mark,
yes,
in the hospital, and she was there for 5 years. People would be surprised to hear that. But anyway, she passed away after 5 years in the hospital. So Margaret and I built this house in 1948. I stayed there for 7 years, and I got a bit sick of it because I got used to playing golf. But it was a quarter acre section, just short, a quarter acre.
Whereabouts was it?
In Tower Street. And I said, oh, well, I think I'll sell this. So I sold that, and I came to here where my brother George and his wife were here, and I've been here now 20 years, hard to believe.
Because they were brand new when you came here, weren't they?
Well, there was a person, just a widow, came into this one, and she was, her husband mended radios, I've just forgotten his name. His shop was between King Street and Nelson Street, halfway down, and I know he mended.
Wasn't the chap Milne?
That's the one.
Guy Milne, that's
got
right.
It. And she died, and it was offering, there was two offering, but I took this one, and I think it worked out quite well.
Yes, I always remember Guy Milne. He was a good man, he was lame.
He was lame, that's right.
And of course his brother, Edgar, was down the road from Noel.
That's right, I remember all that.
Edgar and Ray Milne. So it's interesting looking back at especially your signwriting days, and it called for a very steady hand, and as time went on, these machines printed these signs, they just stuck on things,
well,
didn't they?
Brought on, put onto a computer, and that came on and went to the cutter, which cut the letters, and then we just, somebody wanted a truck done, and you knew, because we did a lot for Sherwood, they were in and out of there, didn't have to wait for anything to dry. But I really enjoyed hand signwriting, and I especially the likes of doing gold leaf, and like the lawyers and the jewelers and that, they wanted a sign which was always on the inside of the glass. We would do this gold leaf, and it was expensive, and you don't see any now. It's all the material, gold material, if they want gold. Yeah. It doesn't look the same.
Now, you mentioned golf. You were an ardent player. What handicap did you get down to those days?
Oh, the best I ever got to was 14.
But I mean you enjoyed it.
Oh, I enjoyed it. I was sort of 53 or something when I started. But I did have a hole in one. Only one. Got the... There it is over there.
So you carried on playing for...
No, yes. The sub got too much. It was $1,000.
This was Bridge Park?
Yeah, the next door.
So did you play any other sport, Jim?
Oh, I didn't play rugby. Oh, badminton. I played badminton. I didn't play cricket.
Because those days, what hall did you play badminton in?
I started in the Baptist Hall, because Gordon Spurdle's brother, Leslie, he was in the Harriers as well, and he was a much better player than me. We played there, and then I think I went over to the Methodist Hall, where Gordon played at the Methodist, Leslie played at the Baptist, because they were different religions, of course.
Because later on, the YMCA, badminton was in the YMCA building, wasn't it?
YMCA, I could tell you something about that. I, somehow or other, when I was very young, got into doing things at the old YMCA, where the National Service Club is. A man named Eric T. Price. He took us there. He was a good bloke, very strict, but I recall being taken with a few of us out to Kerrew to Anderson, who owned a good farm, two-storied house, and they gave us dinner. You wouldn't think I'd forget that.
Other highlights in your life? Because over 101 years, there must have been some other highlights. Just funny things that happened?
Oh, yes.
Did you travel much in New Zealand?
No, because my wife, Margaret, ended up with Emmys. We couldn't travel, and we travelled down south on a really good... We flew to Christchurch, had a bus trip, 9 days, and they'd booked us into all government what do they call
it? Tourist hotels.
Tourist hotel. It was a great holiday. And it was unfortunate. You know, I'd like to have gone to Britain. I never got there. But I took up playing cards.
What, bridge or 500?
No, 500. And I'm still playing it over here in the hall.
I notice your hands are very steady. You don't have any tremors in your hands at all.
Well, if I came to songwriting now, I think they may be not quite what they were. But it's not bad. I have been extremely fortunate with health.
Well, fancy Peter being your son. Isn't it? Well, that's good that he's got some land, because he always wanted some land, didn't he?
He did. Well, he's just got over 20 acres out where he is. And he does grow on that lucerne hay for horses. But he liked vehicles. He had cars. He's had a lot of cars.
He's had a lot of trucks too. Yeah.
Well, he's still got them. And he's just bought another one, did you know that?
No.
It's done quite a big mileage, but he's really taken with it. I think he pays 30,000.
So is there anything else you can think of we might not have covered? Been living here for 20 years, it's rather nice, isn't it? Faces the sun, nice garden out the side.
Oh no, I don't get, I only get a bit of sun first thing in the morning, but in the hot days it's good, but I've got one of those for the winter. Yes, it's, I'm sure it is.
Yes, going back to these tanks, it must have been very claustrophobic the first time you went in.
Well, you've hit the nail on the head, because I am claustrophobic, but I got in there, but a British tank, a Valentine, were shocking things compared to the one I was in, the Sherman. But they're not so bad. One experience I had, the Germans were lined up on a riverbank and they were firing shells all at us. So we loaded up, fully loaded with these shells, and we went up, stood back from the river, and blew these houses, blew the tops off them. I was loading the gun, and then the smoke, they have two fans at the back, takes the smoke out, but it got me, so the gunner, he started off firing the shell, and after a while he said, "Well, you're getting a bit too much of that smoke, so you fire the gun." So he, that was one experience. We were lucky we weren't shelled.
Because if you were shelled, you wouldn't have had much chance, would you?
Well, not with a tiger thing.
Okay, well, that's probably pretty well covered the history, hasn't it?
Well, I'm sure there's other things I've forgotten, but, you know, my memory's not what it ought to be.
You know, it's interesting looking at the way Hastings has changed.
Oh.
The city itself.
Very true.
Once upon a time I could sit down with a friend and write down every shop on both sides of the main street. Today, they've all gone. Well, there's only a few left.
I've got a little story about that. Brent Cullen, one day, it was about shops, and, you know, we did a lot of work in a lot of shops, and I reckon I knew, there weren't so many then, I reckon I knew all the shops. "I'll bet you £5 you don't." I said, "I'll take that." But he knew that one shop had moved, and it was in Lemonia where that shoe shop used to be, Good Shoes. Now, what's his name?
I buy my shoes there. They cost me twice as much as anything else, but the shoes are twice as good.
That's not a Riker, is it?
It is a Riker, yes.
I've got some.
Yes, no, they're wonderful shoes. But that's the shop you're talking about.
That's the shop.
Yes.
Found I had this 12 months, just about 12 months ago. Mm. But I can get a shoe on now. And the district nurses come twice a week, so I got lots to bless my God for. Oh, yes. And what do you have any interests other than what you
well,
do?
Well, I record history. I'll
tell you one, we've got a lady here named Ivy Roberts. She had seven or eight daughters, and a son. And she's got heaps of grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
She wasn't married to Bill Roberts, was she?
No. I should remember the name. Excuse me, ma'am. That doesn't always be. I can't remember, but he died. Her husband died.
And so, television, do you watch?
I don't. Not a lot. I'm normally reading here.
Yes, I notice you've got lots of books around.
And I drop off to sleep. Yes. Now, I don't normally get into bed till 11 o'clock. Easy to do.
Oh, well, it's great to have caught up with you, Jim. And I think if you think of something else that you'd like to add to it, we can always add. We can always do an addendum to it. Just tag it on the end. But this will give your family probably...
Well, I'm pleased you're doing this because I have a nephew who was my brother Ian's son, and he got his Ian to write it all out.
Yes.
And he's trying to get me to do it.
Yes, so that'll save you the job.
Oh,
later.
Thank you so much.
So when it,
thank you.
That's all right. So once I take this back, like it goes into the computer and a girl types out, someone else edits it, goes through and takes out any gaps, then
so sort of putting it together,
and then eventually it goes onto the website and it's available there forever. It'll be there. Family members can print it off, they can look at it, but it's in your voice. That's even better.
See, I had a computer for a while because my daughter went to Britain, stayed there for 3.5 years, had a good job in an accountant's office, and I used to email her all the time. And she just got there when those buses were... You remember some people were killed in a rowish? Yeah, well, I was able to get onto it.
So
but
do you
now,
still use it?
No, yeah. It's not worth anything now. Hope I haven't kept it too long.
No, that was lovely, actually.